Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine D., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Wednesday, December 25th, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book, the chapter Into Action. We're on page 78. We're going to be reading and commenting on the second paragraph today, which begins with, "Most alcoholics owe money." Today's readers' names are Lorraine N. for the 12 steps, Karen B. for the 12 traditions, Pam M. and Leah S. Nan K. is going to greet our newcomers after the recording ends, and then Reggie O. has some announcements for us. The reference number for this morning's for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Tuesday, December 24th, is 13870. That's 13870. And the meeting for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, December 25th, is 13872. That's 13872. DOA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Lorraine N. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Lorraine N. in Redmond, Oregon. Merry Christmas to one and all. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service. I'll pass. Okay.
Thank you, Lorraine N. And I'll now ask Karen B. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. This is Karen B. in Camas, Utah, with the 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest our problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those who serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Merry Christmas to everyone, and I hope it's a beautiful abstinent day. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Karen B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Interaction on page 78, and we're going to read and comment on the second paragraph, and I will ask Pam M. to please begin reading.
Blessed morning, everyone. This is Pam N. in the Adirondack Mountains of upstate New York. Most alcoholics owe money. We do not dodge our creditors, telling them what we are trying to do. We make no bones about our drinking. They usually know it anyway, whether we think so or not. Nor are we afraid of disclosing our alcoholism on the theory it may cause financial harm. Approached in this way, the most ruthless creditor will sometimes surprise us. Arranging the best deal we can, we let these people know we are sorry. Our drinking has made us slow to pay. We must lose our fear of creditors, no matter how far we have to go, for we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. I had this very situation. I owed money. I didn't want to admit it, but I did. I had encouraged a family member to take a training course I was leading because I thought it would fix her. I thought she wouldn't be depressed anymore and she'd lose weight if only she would do what I said. She was bending over backwards to try to attend my training, driving for hours every week, renting hotel rooms. But when she broke the rules of my school, I expelled her. I expelled my family member through an email with one sentence. I was so angry and infuriated because I wasn't in control anymore. I devastated her and drove a rift through the whole family in one selfish sentence because she didn't follow my script. I couldn't bring myself to go to family events for 2 years because I was that resentful and mortified and angry to face her. So yes, she broke the rules, but I was a person in a position of power and influence, and I took advantage of that. I wanted something for her she didn't want for herself. I was trying to force her to be someone she wasn't. I also wanted to make money, and I wanted her to like me. So through doing these steps, I realized my selfish motives. When I reached out to her, I decided I'd send her a card to request to see her. 6 months later, she replied via email that she was only willing to talk with me through email. So I sent her my amends on her terms and the $565 I owed her through PayPal so she would have it all at the same time. I wanted her to know my sincerity. So today, I can look her in the eye and hug her at family events. And I have peace in regards to this matter in my life. And I am so grateful for this program for showing me how to be free of that chain. That is the best gift that I could possibly have on this Christmas, is to be completely free of fear and shame from all other people in this world. And I'm walking a free woman. So with that, I pass, and I wish you all a blessed Christmas and Hanukkah. Namaste.
Powerful, powerful. Thank you very much, Pam. Great start to an important topic. So who else would like to comment on this, the second paragraph on page 78?
Barbara E.
Barbara E.
Janet E.
Janet E.
Miriam Rifka H.
Miriam Rifka H.
Cindy Kellerman.
Kathleen.
Cindy K.
Cindy K.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O. And I thought I heard one other person. I have Barbara E., Janet E., Miriam Rifka H., Cindy K., and Kathleen O., and room for one more.
Bruce E.
Bruce E., there we go. Thank you very much. Okay, so Barbara E., please go ahead. You'll be followed by Janet E.
Thank you for this privilege. Mela Kalikimaki, Feliz Navidad, Joyous Noel, and Happy Hanukkah to everyone around the world, and especially to you, my friends. Well, for me, this is a program, of course, of ego deflation. And what popped out in the reading, and so eloquently done, is the word go. Go is an action word. And I had to take any action that was necessary, even if I didn't really understand what the outcome might be. I just had to trust that I was headed in the right direction because I had good guides along the way. Now, I don't know about you, but I had stolen so much food, candy, whatnot, from the supermarkets over the years. I couldn't even begin to tell you the amount of stuff and the names of the supermarkets. So what I did with the gentle help and guidance of my sponsor was determined to make a monthly donation to the Interfaith Community Food Bank as a way of paying back. And the school that I worked at, I took reams of paper home for myself, justifying that it was all right because I was Xeroxing all this for the students at school. Well, if it was all right, why was I sneaking it out in my bag? So I knew in my heart, in my head, that there was something wrong with it. So I did go to the school, and it was many years after I had retired. And I said, what I would like to do is to make a yearly contribution to the scholarship fund for a graduating senior as a way of paying back for taking the reams of paper. And the superintendent of schools, and that was maybe three superintendents after I had retired, said he thought that was a very good idea. I'd also used my husband's, ironically, handicap placard, when I didn't need it. I say ironically because now I need one myself. So I couldn't run around chasing elderly people, apologizing to them. I would get locked up at the loony bin for sure. I volunteered to go to a senior citizen home and read to elderly people who no longer had the ability to read clearly, and I would read books to them that they chose out of the past usually, and it helped me with my plan of action to go forward. And I felt that my side of the street was cleared just a little bit. This is a beautiful program, and I believe that even if I don't understand where I'm heading, I will end up just where I need to be. And if I'm not sure what to do, I just pause and I pray and I wait for God to give me the next right thought. And sometimes I don't hear it and I fall on my face. But that's pretty much okay. Again, Merry Christmas, everyone, and Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you very much, Barbara E. Janet E., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Miriam Rivka H.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. Janet E., grateful to be recovered in Ecuador today. Most alcoholics owe money, yeah? Well, I sure did, and that was just one other aspect of my life that was completely unmanageable, along with the food. You know, I have a disease of more. How could I possibly know how to handle my finances? All or nothing. I never knew what I spent. I was in constant vagueness. I took things that weren't mine. On my most recent step work, I made an amends to my company that has given me an early retirement and gave me a very lucrative career. And I had to go to the president and say, well, about 10 years ago, I took things that weren't mine. I was in management. I was buying promotional items for my company with my company budget. And just, you know, I would take them home. I'd give them as gifts to presents to family members. And I just thought that was really okay. And it was absolutely stealing. And so I made a donation to the nonprofit that my company has supported for years and years. And interestingly enough, I never heard back from the president, but it doesn't matter. I cleaned up my side of the street. I made that donation. I went in willingness and honesty. And I was afraid to do that because I was an employee that was respected. I had a good career there. And it's like, oh, guess what you don't know about me? I stole. But it felt so good to clean that up. And it's just freedom now about that. I don't look back on my company and my career with this funny little feeling in my gut. That's been resolved now. And I can say in general, regarding my entire financial life, it was self-will run riot, buying things to feed my ego, the next designer handbag, the next whatever, the next luxury vacation, the next this, all on credit cards, never knowing what I spent. I was in huge debt, despite a good income. And that level of unmanageability for me led me to a sister program, DA, which returned me to complete sanity with money. And interestingly enough, I found a lot of fellow overeaters in that program. There's definitely a connection. And it so today I live debt-free without credit cards, in sanity, in gratitude, in complete abundance. And that retooled my entire thinking. But this is one more area that higher power, we take to higher power. I can take to higher power. And that can be relieved and I can be restored. I can be right-sized in this part of my life too. What an amazing gift that is. So grateful to be here. Happy day to everybody. And that'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Janet D. Miriam Rivka H., you're up next, followed by Cindy K.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. This is Miriam Rivka H., recovered in New Jersey. And as soon as I heard the reading, I was like, I have to share. This was probably the hardest part of making amends for me. I've been through this step several times, and over the past, I think it was maybe a year or two ago, I came to this segment, and I had to look at the fact that we had bills that were going unpaid, particularly medical bills that were like out of control, and we were getting constant letters and collection agencies. And finally, we got a letter that they wanted to put a lien on our home. And I was hysterical and upset about it. And I kept blaming my husband because he's supposed to be in charge of the bills, don't you know? And in doing this work, I remember making calls and saying, listen, there's no way in the world I can possibly pay this stuff back. Like, this is just too much money. And what am I supposed to do? And I can't go behind my husband's back, and he thinks we shouldn't pay it. And, you know, there's all of these excuses. And I was guided by my sponsor to just do the next right step. You know, so I slowly started to contact these different medical offices and find out exactly how much do I owe and exactly how much, you know, and what kind of payment plan can I make. And it just started with that, like just like owning up to it and recognizing that this is money that I owe for services that I was provided, and how can I make this right. And it's now, it's definitely a year or two later, and I'm still paying off some of them, but I think I only have two that I'm still in the middle of. God has opened doors to me to help. You know, I have a health savings account through work, and God has guided me to work with that in order to, you know, take off money from my paycheck and designate it for paying back these bills. And there is nothing that feels so good to me as when I get to delete an account from my spreadsheet that I have, you know, that is fully paid. It's up to date. And it's just, this has really shown me that there's nothing in this world that higher power won't help me with. You know, I just remember looking at that list and just seeing it as so huge and unending, and how will I ever do this? And things are falling into place. You know, yes, it takes time, but I don't need to do it all at once. I just need to do the right thing for today. I'm very grateful for this process, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Miriam Rivka H. Cindy K., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Kathleen O.
Good morning, everybody, and happy holidays. My name is Cindy K. I'm calling from Kansas City, Missouri. Gratefully recovered, compulsive overeater. You know, this particular portion of the book, I just kind of breezed over. And, you know, I just went to this program because I wanted to lose weight. All of a sudden, there was so many other issues I never knew I needed to make amends for. I needed to relearn. One of the things was paying bills. My habit up to the point of starting recovery was, if I couldn't pay a bill, say a medical bill, I would just throw it in the trash. I thought nothing of it. If I can't pay it, they can handle it. The only thing I made sure I paid was my utilities and rent. Well, my sponsor heard me say that once casually, and she stopped me in my tracks, and she says, what you're doing is stealing. Every time you buy something for yourself and you still have bills unpaid, you are spending money that belongs to these creditors. That came as a shock to me. That's how irresponsible I had become. So even now, I am still struggling with trying to prioritize bills, and it's a whole new world. But now I know. And what she said is, do you want all the sunlight of the Spirit? Because this is one of the things you have to improve on. And do amends on. So this is a good chapter for me, good reminder to keep going and be a responsible member of society. One of the things we learn in program. And thank you very much. I pass.
Thank you very much, Cindy K. Kathleen, no, you're up next, and you'll be followed by Bruce E.
Good morning. Thank you for your service this morning, Elaine. Thanks for everyone being on the line this morning. I'm Kathleen O. in California, and most alcoholics owe money. We do not dodge our creditors, telling them what we are trying to do. We make no bones about our drinking. And I also like the sentence on page 76 that says, if we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. And there was one where I owed money to the high school I went to, and I didn't want to do it, but I did ask for the willingness. And I tell you, when all the times I've asked for willingness, thinking, oh, I don't know how I'm ever going to do this, but just really be willing and sincerely asking for willingness, the miracles are just amazing. They just always blow me away. I worked when I was probably 16. I secured this little job at the high school with my best friend, who was also a compulsive overeater. And it was like getting paid for eating a bunch of junk. It was a little store, and they sold Hostess, Three Musketeers, Snickers, all the candy bars, all the baked goods that, you know, was like dying and going to heaven. It's like, oh, I'm getting paid for this, and I get to eat all this stuff. And my reasoning was I got to eat it because everybody else did. And there was never an adult supervising us, so no one ever said yay or nay. We just figured it was a perk of the little job we had. And, what a great job. I get to eat and I get money. So this was an amends that I found very difficult. I thought, how am I ever going to do this? But I was just willing. And thankfully, I have sponsors that have gone before me. I had a lot of people in program that had gone before me who gave me a lot of good advice. And I didn't even live near my high school, but I was down near my high school. And I had actually, someone had suggested I call and try to find someone who possibly was, a counselor who dealt with people with addictions. And so I called the school and I got that person's name. And I didn't make an appointment because I wasn't sure if I was going to be near my high school this particular day. It was kind of maybe I wouldn't be. And I actually was. It was pouring rain, and I needed to go get this money order because I had figured out with the help of my sponsor how much I should make this out for. And I needed to go to my bank, and it had moved. And it was pouring rain. I thought, there's no way I'm going to be able to do this. And all of a sudden, there's the bank, and there's the clearance. It was like the water's parted, and there it was. Just go forward. There it is. So I went and got it. I went to the school. Classes were just getting out, so parking was really easy. And I walked up to the counselor's office, and I said, is so-and-so available? And they said, you know what? She just finished a meeting, and, yeah, she is. Let me go get her. And it was like, oh, that is God doing for me what I could not do for myself. And so I explained to her, you know, that I had this addiction to food and, you know, my whole story. And I said, and, you know, I want to make amends for this. And here is a cashier's check. You can do what you want with it. And
gentle reminder.
I will stop there then. And thank you, Elaine. Happy Hanukkah. Oh. Merry Christmas, everyone. And may you all have a blessed abstinent day. And I pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for that powerful story, Kathleen. Okay, Brucey is up next, and after that, we will take another lineup. For people who'd like to share, on page 78, the second paragraph, which begins with most alcoholics owe money. Please go ahead, Bruce.
Well, thank you very much. It is Bruce E. I'm in Southwest Florida. Generally, I'd say sunny Southwest Florida, but it's kind of a wintry day in Florida today, and really grateful to everybody on this line. This is thinking about this paragraph here. Paragraph kind of like an Oreo cookie. It starts with something major and it ends with something major, and it's got all the other stuff in between. But it starts out first sentence, most alcoholics owe money. Yes, that's me. And last sentence, are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. We are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. And I obviously totally agree on both points. Owing money. So I had a spiritual experience back when I was 38 years old, and I owed so much money. I was going through a divorce and had all the bills were in my name. And I couldn't blame it on anybody, couldn't blame it on my ex-wife. I had to take the bit in the teeth and run with this thing. So I sat down with my mother, my precious dear mother, sat down with me, and we looked at all the bills that I had. and it was thousands of dollars. There's no way I could have ever paid that, and I had no money. So I just, my mom and I crafted this letter to all the creditors that I know I owe you money, and this is what I owe you. I'm sending you $25, and I'm going to send this just as often as I possibly can. I didn't even tell them I was going to send it once a month or every 2 weeks because I didn't even know if I could. $25 is all to each one of them. And I remember one of them, I owed them $4,000, and I sent them a mere $25 check, and they wrote a letter back and said, well, we appreciate you sending this money. We acknowledge it, and you just do the best you can to pay this off. And I was amazed, you know, and I eventually paid all of it back. And I, you know, I could have filed bankruptcy. Well, I couldn't file bankruptcy because they wanted $150 back then to file bankruptcy, and I didn't have the money to do that. I didn't have the $150. So I paid it all back. What a wonderful thing. And so now here I am years later. I'm in Vision. I got a sponsor, Charles H., and we get to step nine. And he said, okay, start writing the checks. And I had to swallow hard, you know, writing these checks, man. I can't write. Now I got some money in the bank, you know. So now I'm going to drain my savings account down by writing all these checks. And then I procrastinated and finally came to me and said, okay, you got 1 week. Do them all. Do all your amends in the next week. And I did. Yeah, thank you. And I wrote them, the ones I could see face to face. I gave them the check, and I told them what was going on in my life, and it was wonderful. So, so with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Why do those nine-step promises come to mind? We're commenting on the second paragraph on page 78, Most Alcoholics Owe Money. Who'd like to comment on this?
Leah S.
Leah S.
Terry S.
Terry S.
Donna W.
Donna, was that Donna W?
Yes, Donna W.
Okay.
Thanks.
Anyone else?
Mary Jane Z.
Great. And we have time for one more.
Michelle J.
Michelle J. There we go. Okay, so here is our lineup. Leah S., Terry S., Donna W., Mary Jane Z., and Michelle J. Please go ahead, Leah.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody, and happy holidays to everyone. I don't talk too much about the financial amends because I grew up in a neighborhood where I still live in this neighborhood, and we have these mom-and-pop stores, and that's how we did it. And when people started having credit cards, I still didn't use a credit card because in my mind I kept saying, you know what, if I owe you the money, I got to pay it. So what's the big deal? The bank is going to be in on my secret and how many people that I know, and then I just gonna have to pay it. So I didn't understand the concept of a credit card because I was so I grew up with my parents being always in debt. And I actually did go from store to store to help, as soon as I started working, to help my parents pay the debt because I couldn't bear the shame. And I think that concept just stayed with me. But life is life, and, you know, I'm not a teenager today. I'm far from it. But in making these amends where I owed people money, I guess the shame about just confronting them was the hardest part that ever there was of my entire amend. I would think to myself, you know, just pay it and that's it. Just don't face them. The same kind of difficulty as the fifth step, you know. And it was only the power of God that really spurred me on and just made me go and face these people or write the letters to them. And miraculously, these people, the most important part about the story is that I would use their stores again, and I would tell them that I can only pay this much at this time. And I would be prepared that they would tell me, no, you can't. But they told me back, yes, you can purchase, and we take your word for it. We do. We know you now. And that's what the point that I wanted to bring out, that, yes, there is difficulty in going through all these payments and repayments and whatever it is and all that change, but it's so unbelievable where we get surprised that, hey, not only that, your credit is still wonderful and actually even better than you ever thought that it could be. Thank you for letting me share, and I wish everyone a wonderful day.
Thank you so much, Leah S. What a powerful meeting. Terry S., you are up next. Please go ahead.
Good morning and Merry Christmas. Oh, what a incredible topic for me. I'm so glad to be here today. What I love about this paragraph is most alcoholics owe money. Yeah, no kidding. And our drinking has made us slow to pay. I had already figured out the trick of contacting the creditors and the utilities and begging more time and sending little bits of money way before program, because I'm very manipulative. So, and it worked. But the reason I was slow to pay was because I had to binge, and I was putting my binge foods on credit cards. I was shorting my bills, never the rent, but the rest of the bills I was shorting because I had to buy food. And it was this desperate, vicious cycle that I got into. So when I moved into step 9, I had quite a bit of debt to pay off. And one of them was a JAG I took to Mexico, and I binged the entire week in the privacy of my hotel room. It was horrible. I have very little good memories of that trip, and it should have been wonderful. So when it came time to paying back all this money, I had to swallow hard, put my nose to the grindstone, and just start making payments. I also had stolen candy and junk food as a kid, and I had to make amends for that. And so I made payments for that kind of thing. But the financial insecurity is such a big issue for me that I know it goes along with my addiction, and I love that the big book addresses this. It feeds a lot of fear, and when I'm having that uncomfortable fear, I overeat. So I'm really, really grateful that this is part of step 9, and making those amends and sending those checks out just is so freeing. I'm not afraid to look at my bank account anymore. There's just so much gratitude there. So thank you. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Terry S. Donna W., you are up next, followed by Mary Jane C.
Hi, this is Donna W. checking in. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Grateful for my abstinence and my recovery today. And probably about a year ago or a little more, when we were going through this step in a vision, I heard folks talking about making financial restitutions. And I was like, oh, you know, how many times have I done the 9th step? And I realized I had not gone to those stores that I had been taking handfuls out of the bins for years and years. So I was like, okay, time to make that amends. And so I went to several stores and I figured out kind of how many handfuls I had taken. I had them weigh it out, and I paid for that amount, and they wouldn't accept the money, so I donated on their behalf. So I did that to several stores, you know, went up, said, hey, I need to speak to the management and admit my fault, my crime, you know, which is the next paragraph. I'm not sure if this was a debt or a crime, but probably a bit of both, to admit my crime. And most of them were pretty baffled by what I was doing, but they were willing to go along with it. And one place was very touched by it. But talk about humbling to go up and admit that I've been stealing from their bins. And they said, oh, don't worry, you know, we account for that. I'm like, yes, I have to do this for myself, for my recovery. So I'm grateful I did that. And then I go into those stores. I'm like, well, I have to make that living amends if I don't do that behavior anymore. It's really just showing up and cleaning my side of the street. And I had that behavior since I was a kid, you know, go and take a handful of things from the bins. I thought that was what you were supposed to do. So anyway, I just want to say, just want to stay close to God today and remember that God is everything. You know, God either is or isn't. What is my choice to be? So my choice is to have my higher power be everything for me today. And I'm so grateful for all I learned from you on the lines, and wishing you a blessed day. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, too. That's a wonderful choice. I choose it, too. Okay, Mary Jane Z, you'll be up next, followed by Michelle J. Please go ahead.
Good morning from the state of Kentucky. Mary Jane Z here, recovered. I like the part where it says, our drinking has made us slow to pay. We must lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we have to go, before we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. So obviously, I worked these steps a couple years ago, and I made all my amends that I remembered, but I keep coming up with new ones. My eating has made me slow to think of these things. So three more came up in the last 10 days or so. And, you know, I've made one and I've made the approach for the other two, but, one of them, I'm scared. I'm scared. And so, you know, I've had to do fear inventory. And this to me is this step is where I'm really moving from self-reliance to God-reliance, because I'm coming out of the shadows and I'm rebuilding relationships. And that means I have to put myself out there in all my frailties and trust that my higher power is going to walk with me. This is step three in action here. I'm turning my will and my life over, and I've got to do this, you know, because I don't want to go back. I've had a taste of what it's like in recovery, and I don't want to go back. And the word that keeps coming to mind is sober. So I just looked it up, and the first definition is not affected by alcohol, not drunk. But it goes on down and it says a serious, sensible, solemn, a sober view of life. And that's what I feel like I'm getting is that kind of a view of life. You know, I can still see the fun, but, you know, I have to take my actions seriously now. And another meaning of it is to be logical and realistic about something. And that's, you know, turning the mirror around and looking in the mirror and going, yeah, I did that. And I don't want to be that person anymore. So the only way I can move forward is to grab the hand of my higher power and trust that whatever is going to come out is the best and the highest good for me. And I'm going to learn from it. So with that, I pass. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you very much, Mary Jane C. Michelle J., you are up. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you, and Merry Christmas to all of you. Michelle J. from Arkansas, not only recovered, but recovering. You know, I'm listening to Making Amends for Money Issues, and in program we have overeaters and we have undereaters. And, well, this morning I found myself not owing money and having to pay it back. But, you know, this holiday season has been an opportunity for me to make amends for my anorexic like hold on money. I'm 59 years old and I've never been a day late. Never, I just couldn't handle that and on any bill. And I had a major issue with owing anything or having a debt. I just, you know, to take a loan out would just, it was horrible. So my amends and this holiday season has been really awesome. You know, I had to get a loan for a new heater and a hot water heater. And I didn't freak out. I didn't just get all depressed. And my husband, I said, hey, let's just take a loan. Let's just get it done. And it was so wonderful and freeing. And my poor husband didn't have to put up with me freaking out over it. And I bought most of my Christmas presents from a store, not from yard sales or Goodwill or the Salvation Army. I mean, I just had this thing about spending money. And I actually took my friends out to dinner, and I gave tips that were a blessing, not just a $1 or $2, you know. This thing I just heard recently, you know, this, you know, not relying on myself and letting God have this. And it, I needed to be freed from that money thing. But that, like I said, I'm like an anorexic with money, not an overspender, but a severe underspender. But after a year and a few months in program, just you guys, this program works, working the program and being freed up from that has been just probably one of the best Christmas presents I can have besides salvation. You know, it's like, wow. So I just want to say Merry Christmas and God bless. And thank you so much for being here this morning. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Michelle J. That does leave us time for one more share. Who'd like to take our final share for today?
Sarit L.
This is Julie E.B.
Sarit L. I'm so sorry. I heard Sarit first, and we just have time for one. So thank you, Julie. Please go ahead, Sarit.
Oh, you heard Sarit? I thought you heard Julie. I'm confused.
Nope, I heard Sarit first. So please go ahead,
okay.
Julie. Thank you.
Okay, thanks so much. It's Sarit L. Recovered in Montreal, Canada. Happy holidays to all of you. And I just wanted to share on this fear of financial insecurity, because this continues to be a struggle for me. And in my work in my step 9 and amends for this is bringing it to God every time, because I have fear of financial insecurity, very big fears. And what I was taught in these rooms is that my fear of financial insecurity will not, what I was going to say is that the fear will not of having, I will not have, you know, plenty necessarily, but the fear of not having plenty will be gone. That's what I want to say. And that's what I was taught. And so it shifts me into this place of acceptance of what I have. And my fear of not having enough can get relieved daily. So how I do that is I've written out my fear very detailed, and I went through every single fear around not having enough, which is the lies I tell myself. I won't be secure and safe if I don't have everything I need, that I provide all my needs, or that my child finishing their plates will provide me with all my needs, or them not taking more food from me will provide me my needs, all these lies. And that the truth around all of that is that God is the one that provides. God knows what's best for me. God is my Father and loves me. And so He's the one that's making these decisions. And those people around me in my life, such as my children, my husband, even myself, are not powerful enough to provide me my needs or to take away. So if they eat 2 extra apples today, it's not going to determine my money fate, and it won't make me poorer. And having more of will not give me security in the world. So all these lies and fears I've had to work through and then turn them into prayers. The truths were turned into prayers for me. And so that all throughout the day, I am using these prayers and using these struggles of mine as an opportunity to then go to God to change me from deep within, because this is a very core, it's a very big problem for me that I struggle with. And so I turn to God with these prayers. God, please help me to believe that You are in control today, and You determine how much money I have, and You love me and do what's best for me. I don't say how much money I have. And so me not throwing out this cup for 2 days will not determine how much money I have. And I hope that helps someone else who struggles with this. We are promised a life of recovery, and these steps are just changing me. And I'm so happy to be doing it with all of you today. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sarit Al. And thank you, everybody who has shared, who came and listened, who's doing service. Thank you so much. We'll now transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Leah S. please read a vision for you?
Thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you tread the road. Happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.